From Spark and Anvil and Quillspell, this is Saga and Birch in Chapter 1 of the Quillspell cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The word library at Quillspell was really two libraries pretending to be one, and everyone who worked there had quietly picked a side. On the near shelves lived Birch's words, short, sturdy, everyday things, worn smooth by a thousand years of ordinary mouths. Hand, foot, mouth, hear, walk. Birch himself was much like his words, solid, unshowy, a homebody in a knitted jumper who had never once left the valley and did not especially want to. He liked a word you could say with your feet on the ground. On the far shelves lived Saga's words, the ones that had arrived, carried in on longships a very long time ago. Sky, gift, take, they, them. Saga wore a traveling cloak even indoors and told stories about the cold northern sea as though she'd sailed it herself, which she had not, but her words had, and that was close enough for Saga. They were friendly enough. They just didn't think they had much in common.
The trouble started, as trouble in libraries does, with a tidy-up. "These are shelved wrong," Birch said, holding up a word stone that read skirt. "This is one of yours. It's got your northern sound on it, that SK at the front. But it was filed next to one of mine." He held up his own stone. "Shirt." Saga wandered over, cloak swishing. She looked at the two stones lying side by side on the sorting table. Shirt, skirt. And she felt something odd prickle at the back of her neck, the feeling you get when a stranger turns around and has your grandmother's exact nose. "Birch," she said slowly. "Say yours. Say it slow." "Shirt," said Birch. "Skirt," said Saga. They looked at each other. "Take away the little difference at the front. His soft sh, her hard sk. And underneath, the two words were the same word. The same bones. The same length. The same ending. The same tired old meaning about a piece of cloth you pull over yourself." "That's not possible," said Birch, who distrusted anything exciting on principle.
But once they'd seen it, they couldn't stop seeing it. They started laying their words down in pairs on the long sorting table, his beside hers, hunting for the prickle at the neck feeling, and it kept coming. Birch set down no, Saga set down nay, same word. Birch set down ship, Saga set down skiff, same word. Split in two, one grown big, and one stayed small. Each time, the two stones would give a faint chime when they touched, the way two tuning forks will hum if they're tuned to the very same note. Chime after chime after chime, all down the table. "How?" Birch finally said, sitting down hard. "How are half my plainest words secretly related to your fancy traveled ones?" Saga, for once, wasn't performing. "Because they started in the same place," she said quietly. "One very old word, older than either of us. It just left home twice. One copy stayed with your people and softened into shirt. One copy sailed north with mine and hardened into skirt. Same ancestor. Two roads. Two words." She touched the pair of stones. "They're not strangers who happen to look alike. They're family who got separated."
A student named Ren had been watching, chin on the table, fascinated. "So, if I get stuck spelling one," Ren said, "I can look at its long-lost twin?" "Try it," said Saga, delighted. She slid a fresh stone over. "You keep spelling skirt with an E, Birch tells me, so look at its family." She set shirt beside the blank. "How's the family spelled? The IR in the middle." "Sh-I-R." Ren read, then carefully. "So, sk-I-R-T. Same middle, I-R, because they're the same word underneath." The blank stone chimed and filled itself in, correct. Ren sat back, amazed. The spelling was hiding in the cousin the whole time. "That's the trick of us," said Birch,
and for the first time in the whole chapter, he looked a little bit proud of his plain little words. You don't have to memorize two hard spellings. You learn the family, and both of them come free. A matched pair, said Saga, laying her hand over the two humming stones. One route, two roads. We call them doublets, the words that are secretly twins.
Later, when Ren had gone and the library had dimmed to its evening hush, Saga and Birch sat together at the sorting table, the paired stones still faintly worn between them. I always felt a bit plain next to you, Birch admitted, turning shirt over in his broad hands. Your words had been places, mine just stayed home and got used. He was quiet a moment. Funny to find out half of mine are the same as half of yours, like discovering the cousin who stayed on the farm and the cousin who ran off to sea had the same face all along. I felt the opposite, Saga said. All that traveling, and it turns out the words I was proudest of are just yours, wearing a different coat. She smiled, and it was a warm, unguarded smile, not a performing one. I don't feel less special. I feel less alone, like the library got smaller and cozier without losing a single word. Birch nodded slowly. Outside, the wind that had once carried longships breathed against the windows, and the two of them sat in the good, settled quiet of people who have just found out they were related the whole time. Long-lost family, Birch said. It's a nice thing to be. And it was. The nicest thing either of them had felt in 1,000 years of being words.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Saga and Birch. Released under Creative Commons BYNC SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.